Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, you big son of a bitch?
Whoa, okay. Hope you got that.
Well, you can say that.
You can't.
I don't understand the new rules.
We know you don't understand them. They're not new rules. They are not new at all. They've been around a long time.
I don't get it. I feel like I've said a lot worse on this radio station.
You haven't. It's been bleeped. Someone either gets rid of it or
not in our history. I've said worse.
Well, I mean, look, there are things that someone could argue. It's subjective, but you haven't said those words before. And people just smile and nod and say, yeah, that's the way to do it. And it didn't get bleeped. No.
I don't know.
No. I mean, it could have missed something, but yeah. I'll try and see if I can find some sort of a handbook, some sort of a guide. You know, just to give you an idea of
how is there a rule book or something you got to play by?
Sort of, not really.
Well, then what are we talking about?
Well, I mean, there are some things in writing, they just can't put everything in writing. Like the things you're not allowed to say. They can't put that in writing.
Well, they should.
But then what you end up with
is... things in writing that I can't say?
No, not really.
Well, then what are we talking about?
Well, they explain it. They explain it. So it makes sense once you read it. You go, oh, okay, I get this. I mean, sort of. It's like in Japan when they censored porn And they said, okay, you got to censor genitals or whatever, right? Well, then they came up with all these other things, and suddenly, like, maybe we shouldn't have censored porn. We got people doing stuff with eels now and vending machines.
I didn't know that's where it started. I didn't know that.
Well, I don't know if that's been proven to be true or not, but I've heard that.
I don't know if that's the origin story of eel porn.
It might not be, but I've heard that before about this is why you don't censor porn. But it's the same idea, whether it's true or not, that you don't put out the handbook that says, here's what Laszlo cannot say. Because if we had that in writing, then you would find a way to say everything else. And you'd have fun with it. I mean, we would have fun with it. Let's be honest. They said, here's what you can't say.
These are the things that'll get you in trouble. Before you dress me down.
I just said, what I can't say. I just said, hope you got that, snow cone.
Well,
and then you said.
Then who put you in charge of it?
I can say that. Huh?
Like the person, like God, or like an FCC commissioner or our boss or. Why are you, like, how do you know the rules?
Well, it's like a
like, if you're playing Monopoly, how do I know you know the rules? You're just like, oh, well, everybody else has to go past go, but because I'm the banker, I get an extra 200 at jail. I don't know that that's true.
There's a general understanding in the building and with the company that you are going to be the least responsible.
Oh.
So then I can come in and try and pick up some of that slack.
Oh, so they
and
put the responsibility on you and Snowcone.
Snowcone would be the final person,
he's the final arbiter.
Yeah.
That's the person, that guy in there.
They're both carried away right now. I know they can't say that. They took too many Xanax.
Oh, well, that's really, 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 really bold of them.
It is, but it's just.
I like the way they think, their action. Like, hey, Laszlo probably isn't very responsible, so we should make Slim Fast and Snowcone.
Well, you know, I mean, look, have you ever been suspended for something that you've said on the air before?
Yes.
Yes. Snowcone, have you ever been suspended for something that you allowed to be said on the air before?
Yes.
Yes. I have not. So it makes sense that they would say, okay, well, you know, maybe run it by Slim first, since we have never had to suspend him for violating one of these obvious...
You almost got us fired for...
Rules.
Doing the... Craigslist thing.
Well, that was different. That wasn't because I was offensive.
I will say the thing that I let play on there was something you said.
I know. I know. Because I trusted you to do your job, and I shouldn't have done that.
I don't remember the story.
That's why I now say, hey, Snowcone, did you get that?
It was the Steve-O interview.
Yeah. It was tough.
What?
We were cussing a lot. Steve-O, he called in. And
you got suspended?
I didn't. Snowcone did for something I said.
Oh.
Yeah. Because he's supposed to catch it.
Well, good. Then just let it go. If the only one who gets suspended is Snowcone.
Yeah, but then if he's gone, then we're responsible for ourselves.
Yeah, but when you can just let that run, just tell him to let it run, then they just suspend Snowcone, which is, I think, win-win. We got to say what we wanted, and he gets to leave.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't we do that more often?
I'm just trying to keep us from getting, I know we don't get in trouble, getting fired for something as trivial as...
what I call
an introduction. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
The first words of the show.
What do we have going on today? You have a lot of interesting tidbits of what's going on in the world?
Well, I guess there is.
I watched Ren Faire last night.
I want to get your take on this because I know after the first episode,
you were very excited. Makes me want to go to Olive Garden with a 25-year-old woman.
Ah, okay. Yes. We'll talk about I really want to do that.
If you're like a 21 to 25-year-old woman, I would like to take you to Olive Garden.
I couldn't believe when he said, this is over. I was like, wow, man. You must make a lot of money. Also,
he does make a lot of
money. I mean, the amount of time, because if I'm that advanced in age, I think even if I'm extremely wealthy, this is an opportunity, right? She's here. I'm here. We're at Olive Garden. At this point, we're family.
We'll talk about Ren Faire, but he is at, and he's talking to this girl, and
like
he just meets her. She's like 25. She's obviously a hooker of some sort.
A dancer, maybe, something.
A sugar baby.
She seems like she's in sex work.
A sugar baby.
Yeah.
And he just looks at her. Before he even tries his soup, and he's like, are your breasts real? And she's like, no, I had surgery like 3 years ago. I went from an A cup to a D cup. And he just goes, this is over, and gets up and leaves.
Okay, this is over.
The Church of Laszlo.
That was funny, man.
Yeah, he would have laughed.
I know.
I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Nah, I know.
That's one of those things nobody tells you about. Before somebody dies, there's all the movies and everything. All the heartache and the loss and all that stuff, sure. But then it's the little things like... Today's my dad's birthday.
Yeah.
And he's been dead for 10 years. And you're like, what do you do on their birthday? What about, you know, the day that they died? I'm like, I'm almost positive you don't celebrate the day that they died.
I don't even know.
Maybe a spouse could mourn or a child, but I don't think it's a day that you get together. Maybe it is. I guess it's just however you're feeling. Every family's different.
Your dad's birthday today, you got him something?
No, I didn't get him anything. That's what I said. I said, Laszlo asked me, you got anything? I said, no, he's dead to me. And that was that. But I did talk about, over the weekend, Brooke and I had discussed taking my mom out to eat. I think I told you for a while we were kind of doing this thing where we would go out to eat at one of his favorite restaurants.
Oh, that's nice.
On his birthday is like a little, okay, well, here's something that we can do. And obviously we're thinking about him. Cause,
what's his favorite restaurant?
Well, he has a couple, but I would say that when he died, the last like 10 years of his life, it would have almost certainly his answer would have been Longhorn.
Okay.
Because he ate there. I mean, they were up there basically every weekend.
Okay. Like, yeah, hey, I like Longhorn.
Every Friday or Saturday. They loved it. So, and it was so funny because I would tell my dad, like, what about
Hooters?
Yeah, Hooters. Well, he didn't take my mom there, though, so he liked doing without her.
Well, she'd probably work him.
Well, that's true, right?
They don't,
no boyfriends, no boyfriends at work. Oh, I think that's an actual rule. I would ask my dad, like, hey, there's an Outback down the street. We could go there this time. He's like, oh, no, I'm not going there. That place sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Because, you know, I like Outback. And I guess, personally, I might even like it better. At least the appetizers, and I know the menu, right. And I thought, oh, I can get
I'm
it.
A Longhorn but guy. I'm with your dad.
They, you know, said no.
There's Texas Roadhouse, but I like Longhorn.
I do like Texas. He liked that place a lot, too, but I don't think he liked the wait. You know, it was always busy. And I think he liked to go in, and they say, Don, here's your table right over here.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I would go up there to see them, it was usually pretty quiet. Of course, they probably ate dinner around...
No,
5 o'clock, yeah,
sure.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, did your parents do that as they got older, start eating early and earlier?
They went to Longhorn a lot.
Did they?
Yeah.
Did they eat early?
My dad loved it.
Like dinner at...
Of course.
Five,
well, you go to bed earlier.
I know. Well, my dad wouldn't admit that he goes to bed. He just falls asleep a lot. Yeah, yeah. Can't change that habit. But my dad would fall asleep a lot, and I'm thinking you could go to bed earlier. But there are certain things he didn't want to... He didn't want to give in to old age, right? No, if I start going to bed earlier than I did in the past, then that says
right,
I'm not
sure,
feeling well or whatever. But I'm like, Dad, you are asleep at Longhorn, though. That's that's the problem. But, you know, I used to feel sorry when I first started seeing my dad age, and I'd see those signs of like, oh, that stuff they talk about old guys doing in movies. My dad's getting old. It used to scare me, and I would feel sad for him. And as I get older, I'm like, man, you know, I'm not old enough that if I just fall asleep at the restaurant, everyone's like, yeah, he's fine. He's just asleep at the restaurant.
No,
they think I've been drinking or they think that there's something wrong
with
me. Trying
to kick you out.
Right. But, you know, you get to an age where I think you can fall asleep at the restaurant, especially if your spouse is with you and they're still eating their salad or whatever. They just assume, she's got it.
They might call the hospital.
They might. But certainly no one notices if you fall asleep at a family get-together in the middle of the day.
Oh, no.
Middle of the morning, middle of the day, whatever. You just sit down and you fall asleep.
My dad would fall asleep anytime he sat in a chair.
My dad did, too, in the end. Mm. And I wonder how much of that was just, well, that's undeniable. You think like, well, hey, maybe he's just finally accepted.
No
it's
coming.
Death is coming. It is coming. Okay, so when the first episode of Ren Faire aired a week and 2 days ago, or whatever, you said you loved it.
Yeah, and if you don't know what it is, it's a three-part documentary on Max about a Renaissance festival, but it's like a Renaissance festival that doesn't travel. So I guess it's the Ren Faire's version of Lollapalooza in Chicago.
I think
so it just opens up, and it's just open for a season in Houston.
Isn't that how a lot of them are, though? Isn't that how ours is?
I have no idea. I always thought they were just carnies, and they'd travel around.
Well, I mean, the stuff stays built up. Yeah, I think it's.
Oh, it is. I had no idea.
Now, but this one is, they lay claim to being the biggest. They have the most foot traffic. I even checked Wikipedia to make sure they weren't making that up. But it does look like they are the most successful Ren Faire in the country. I know you loved it after the first episode, so you finally watched the final two. They just decided to drop the second two at once over the weekend, and you watched it last night. So, coming up here, now that we're not talking about
we'll discuss it. Coronado Crackman wants to know if they thought the employees thought my grandma was just taking a nap at the Golden Corral.
Well, except she was in the soup, right?
And except that it wasn't the Golden Corral. So, you know what? Let's go back and rethink
buffet.
That. There you go. That's a trivia answer.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo. All right. So the documentary is Ren Faire.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I did. I think I texted you. I did text you the thought that I had that as I was watching it, especially by the time I got to the second and third episode, I thought, you know, this feels a little more like a reality show kind of dressed up as a documentary, just with the...
Right, with the way who's trying to buy it.
Well, in the editing, you know, like the suddenly they're not showing this person, so we don't know when this person said this, and adding things, you know, like the guy in the dragon mask.
Oh, yeah.
Just little, I don't know anything about film, so whatever they call that, B-roll, filler,
right,
all that
and
stuff.
Then like the guy imagining what would happen if he got there.
Exactly.
Right? Like that wasn't real.
No, they had to come up with, you know, you're filming all this stuff, and I don't know if you're just hoping that this is something you can sell later, or if Max is like, hey, you're doing this and you got a deadline. Either way, if you don't have much at the end, you gotta find a way to make something.
Right.
Out of it, right? But, I mean, I thought it was fun.
I don't think they had to... I don't think they had to do that, though. It was interesting enough on its own.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I don't know how accurate it is. I don't know any of these people, but it seemed like a crazy story that's really happening in Texas, for the most part, at least, really happening in Texas. And if nothing else, I really enjoyed the guy just watching the highs and the lows. It's like one of those contest shows, like American Idol. You see someone, and they're all excited. And this guy's all excited. One of the guys, because he thinks he's going to get this new job, or he gets this new job, and he thinks, right, great, man, maybe I'll buy the fare. And then you see things start to kind of fall apart. And right, when we see his, I mean, transformation was crazy. And then we see him, you know, in the car playing the producers of the show, Shrek. Songs from Shrek the Musical.
Singing them.
He's like, you guys know Shrek the Musical?
Oh, man.
And just,
if this song doesn't make you cry,
like,
I don't know it will.
No. Yeah, like, and then he just starts singing along to a Shrek song.
You're a weird guy, man. But,
yeah.
And, like, really, I'm not going to say, like, some people may be listening and be like, oh, man, I hope I'm not weird because I listen to that song and it makes me cry. I'm not saying you're weird. I mean, you are a little bit, but we're all weird, so it's okay. Like, I accept your weirdness. But when there's a camera in the passenger seat, and they're like, we are making a documentary to go on Max. And you're like, yo, let's bump the Shrek.
Right. You haven't heard this? Because you're going to love it.
Right. I'm like, all right, so now you've kind of lost a little bit of grasp on reality.
But it also shows that the people who work at these rent fairs, even the biggest
ones,
they are. So not just the performers, but even the people behind the scenes doing these other things, they're all kind of in the spirit of imagination, having
they're all
imagination.
Real childlike, and even the guy who owns it, the king, you know, as much of a dick as he is throughout the whole thing, he's really childlike.
Mm-hmm. It's all, the whole thing feels like another world, and they all live in this world, and they all accept, just like we all do, you know, with different things, but in this world they accept that Renfair is the greatest thing, and for them it is. You know, these people genuinely, some of them really love this job so much, and I get the impression that they think we must be jealous of the fact that they get to do what they do.
Because it also reminded you, as you watch this community of people work together and then undermine each other, take crap from their boss, talk about it as their life's work, it really reminded you of whatever your own work situation is in its own way. And it almost made you feel bad because you're like, everything we do is so unimportant.
Yeah.
It's so unimportant. Like, I could look and laugh at these people and be like, ha ha, it's a Ren Fair.
Care?
Who
yeah.
cares? But then I'm like,
What about me?
Right. Weird. I'm going to go to work tomorrow and we're all going to be trying to position ourselves and kiss asses of people we shouldn't. Right. It's just, it's all there.
Yep.
Just, it makes it a really interesting documentary because they do it dressed up as jesters and mermaids and whatever else, right?
Yeah.
And we just wear t-shirts and shorts. But I got to imagine everybody who watches it can kind of be like, well, if we played trumpets when I walk into work, it would be pretty close to this.
Yeah. And I don't know if when they went in to film this, he just thought, kind of like filming a traveling carnival or whatever, I'll bet there's some good characters or something interesting. Or if they knew that this guy was going to try and sell this. But him trying to sell the fair becomes the main theme of this docu-series.
Well, okay, right. And we can, spoiler, he doesn't.
Yeah.
But I knew that from the first episode that he wasn't going to.
I think they pretty much made that.
Didn't you know that? Like, he's not going to sell this.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like that. Well, I honestly thought the only way that this guy hands this thing off is maybe he's dead. But I will admit that I cheated a little bit because I was trying to see if we could get him on the show. And I looked him up and found an article and didn't say anything about him being dead.
The only way I thought he was going to give it up is if some woman sued him.
Yeah, who did you think specifically? You said
I thought that Darla lady was going to sue him. That lady who was in the boat who was like singing that song. I don't know the song, so maybe people are like, God, you idiot. It was like taking advantage of girls like me with big boobs. And
that was the song I was talking about yesterday. Victoria was made up by a dude.
Yeah, who sings that?
Victoria was made up by a dude. It's a song that we talked about whenever it came out because the girl who wrote it was overcoming an eating disorder. I don't know. It's a whole other thing. But yeah, that was the song I was
singing. That's what she was playing. And this lady was singing on the boat. You know, she's on like her own boat on the lake out of work. And the way she was singing that, I was like, oh boy, that is some foreshadowing that she is like, I don't like you taking advantage of me.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm like, mm.
And like, I'm
King,
a boss
you
bitch.
Better watch your step here, because while you're in control of that kingdom, there are laws in Houston, in the state of Texas, that I'm positive you are breaking.
Sexual harassment type laws specifically?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. I mean, he was saying to her, like, you know, read this book after you get laid. You got to get laid and then read this book. I'm like, that's enough.
Yeah.
That is enough. I'm pretty sure that's enough, man.
Unless you can tell the judge, like, hey, in here, it's all make-believe. I think the judge is like, nope, still a place of business, guys.
The Renaissance Fair in the States came into being because they wanted to be like George. He's built this whole thing.
He's the ruler.
He's not crazy. He's just thinking on a level that you can't comprehend.
I don't know what's going to happen to it after he's gone. Because if he ain't working it, it don't work.
You know, I thought one of the interesting lines in the
are laughing at him because he is kind of a goof, but he did turn a Renfrew into like a $60 million business, so.
I mean, it's so big, at least according to this thing, it's so big that the person who's just in charge of kettle corn or just in charge of the euros, that these people are making, they lead you to believe that they're making a lot of money doing this, and it's a big deal to be a vendor at this particular Renfrew. I thought it was interesting that line that I'm pretty sure it was Darla said in one of the episodes about, it's in the trailer, where she says, I've never seen a Renfrew successfully handed off, you know, from one owner to another. And I'm thinking, have you been around for a lot of Renfrews that were for sale? She did say later, though, that she ran off with a Renaissance Festival when she was a kid from some other state. She ran off with the Renaissance Festival.
That's why I thought a Renaissance Festival traveled, but I don't know.
Some of them might, but I was reading about them. You said something about traveling, and so I looked up ours because I thought that it stayed just because of the stuff that's built over there. And I thought it was open for a couple months at a time. Isn't it open for like 2-3 months? Maybe?
I thought they just went. Yeah, but I thought they were here for 2 or 3 months, and they moved somewhere else for 2 or 3 months.
And maybe they do have like 3 or 4 places, but there's definitely multiple fairs, because if you go on Wikipedia, you can see they've got lists of just every city that has them. I think in the state of Texas alone, there were 4 or 5 or 6 different Renfrews. This guy's is supposedly the busiest, but they're in most
cities. Crackman says a concession dude said he made $14 million a year.
Yeah. That's what he said.
I mean, I could believe it.
When they're
going through like the first day, they were talking like how many people you're going to get there, and they were talking between 18 and 24,000 people for the first day.
Yeah.
So if he keeps that number at about, let's just say 20 for 2 months, I mean, 20,000 people for 60 days. And I just say 20 because I'm sure some days are bigger than others, right? And some days are lower. So even at 15, the people going through buying stuff, man, I mean, that's a lot of money to be made there.
That's why they fight over the right to have these vendor's licenses, right? So the guy, part of the story is that he's supposedly going to sell it. The other is that the reason he wants to sell it, he wants to retire and settle down. He's trying to find love.
Yeah.
Now this guy's in his 80s.
He's 84.
84 years old. And he looks it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You don't look at him and go, oh, my God, 84? Really? No, he looks like he's 84. And he is open to dating younger women. Now, he said in the first episode, I think, that he didn't want women under 30, but then he keeps going out with women under 30. So I don't know why he said that, because everyone I heard him talk about was in their 20s. Yeah.
So he goes out. He meets him. He has a guy that he hired to just run his online dating.
Right.
And he's, like, signed up on sugardaddy.com and all kinds of stuff. And this guy, he said that he had his profile on, like, 50 websites or something.
Yeah.
So, and then this guy goes through them and then sends them out on dates.
Yep. And they meet up just like, you know, anyone else. Meet up on a Tinder date. He goes to Olive Garden with a couple of these girls. Now, I have a clip of the first date, which I guess you could say the first date went better because they talked a little bit longer, and, you know, he didn't drop that bomb.
What are you looking for in someone that you want to date?
Well, just like any normal couple.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, hi, honey, what was your day like today? And you say, okay, with this, this, and this. And you tell me what your day is like. And then in between that, we just screw the out of each other and have a nice climax. And,
I'm sure you could get me there.
That's just perfect.
Yeah, now keep in mind, she's like 24 or 25. She's like, I'm sure you could get me there.
Yeah.
Money helps.
Oh man. She was there because it was a sugar baby website.
Yep.
Like the fact that he doesn't realize it is that's.
You don't think he does?
I think he does, but I think he still thinks he's going to find love.
Love. And he talks about chasing. Like he's a teenager, and I'm like, but that you realize when you say that what that looks like to us, because we see a very
that
elderly
was the thing,
man.
Right. And also, it was not only do we see an elderly man, it that is not the thing that you I don't think that the verbiage that he uses, we're always talking about having a boner, wanting a boner, mm-hmm. and getting a boner, and chasing women, and chasing, right? Mm-hmm. And all the stuff that he says, you're like, those are not the words of a man who's looking for a long-term relationship with someone that he respects and respects him.
Right.
Your idea of what this love is like is really odd to me.
Yeah, because you could...
Because there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with trying to pick up girls outside of Houston, and take them to Olive Garden, and having sex with them.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You could keep them around.
But the fact that you want them to love you...
Right.
But then...
You're also really picky.
And you're also degrading to them.
Well, that's...
You know what I mean? So you're degrading to them. So I'm like, I don't know what you want, man. I feel like you want love, but you don't know what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, because you could get... That girl we just played the clip, she seemed like she would stick around. She'll hang out with you. She'll be your sugar baby for the rest of your years.
Right, that girl would have been fine.
And
the way she said, I'm sure you can get me there, was her way of saying...
Let's do this.
Right, you can. I'm sure you can.
So I'm thinking like, oh, he's going to certainly keep this girl around now because she's young and beautiful. And no, you know, he's still out there looking. He's still got to find
the
right
person.
Well,
then he leaves that date and says, well, you know, it just wasn't going to work.
Yep.
She's too young for me. She hasn't read books and poetry. And I'm like...
Which I thought, like, okay, she's too young. So what's your age going to be? Because you are in your mid-80s. And I think he said 30 was going to be his minimum, right? After that date. But then he decides...
The next time he's a 25-year-old.
Forget it, because he's with another girl in her early 20s. And boy, the way he blew this. I mean, this girl, when I saw her responding to his question, I thought, oh, well, you know, maybe he'll overlook this one little... quote unquote flaw. What he considers a flaw, I do not, but he did.
Those are natural breasts?
I do not have natural breasts. I had an operation, I'd say about a year ago, where I went from a size A to a 4D.
Okay,
this is over. That's it.
That's what he says.
Yeah, just walks
out. This is over, and he leaves before he's even gotten his chicken parmesan.
Yep. Because he had said something about, I don't like fake breasts. If I reach across and I feel, what do you say, rubber, plastic. Nothing could be, I don't know. He again, talks like he's a teenager.
Yeah.
Like a young teenager, too. Like junior high locker
room
stuff.
He's an odd guy. If you get a chance to watch it, I say it's worth watching.
And the guy who made it is the guy that made that documentary about...
Close to Heaven.
About the retirement community in Florida that we've talked way too much about.
So we'd like to talk to this guy.
Yeah. So... I
sent him an email.
I'm curious what people think of this who have watched it. I know Poncho watched it. We talked about it. I'm curious what people think of it. But Ren Fair, by the way, and it's on Max, and it's all out now. There's only three of them, and they're all streaming.
And they're all, I think they're interesting.
Yeah, I do too.
He's an interesting guy.
That's putting it mildly.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
All
right.
We're getting ready to doom scroll.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too. We're going to do the news. Yesterday, the news had just come out that, what's his name, Hunter Biden, was found guilty.
Yeah.
Since then, you know, it's a big story. I think it would be a bigger story if the former president and potential future president hadn't also just been convicted of felony. You know, kind of like, but then you've got all the conspiracy theorists. They only convicted Biden
so that
it would look like they're being fair. And I'm kind of with Laszlo on this whole thing. I don't know what all Hunter Biden's been accused of. Haven't followed his life too closely.
Right.
But this particular case, it's a weird one. Like, I want to know, and someone could tell me yes, but has anyone ever been put in front of a jury for a case based on this accusation? Like, when you filled out this form...
And this form said, are you an addict or currently using illegal drugs?
I'll pull up the exact.
And you're telling me everybody else has answered that honestly?
Or that you looked into it so deeply afterward? Like, you know what? I'll bet this guy, that drug addict, I wonder if he bought a gun. And if he did, I want to go see when he filled out that form.
Right.
And then you follow it, you trace it back?
It just, you know, and I'm good with all those laws being on the books. It's just like everybody's so up in arms.
Right.
But I'm like, wait, isn't yours the side that says that form should be illegal anyway?
Shouldn't even need to fill it out.
You shouldn't have to ever. You don't ask me any questions. The Second Amendment doesn't say anything about what I'm high on or not high on.
Whether I was just high, going to get high.
Thinking about getting high or addicted to high. Doesn't say anything about it. What it does say is that I'm allowed to have a gun.
It was a weird trial, I thought, at least. Maybe so other people could say, like, no, it's happened before. But listening to what the prosecution was saying, listening or reading what the defense was saying, I was just flabbergasted. Like, was this person an addict at this time or not? I don't know when else that has been, like, the whole crux of the complaint.
Before,
but it may
know.
Happen. Maybe they find out that drug addicts own guns and they go back and look for those forms and then take them to trial. I really don't know. But anyhow, he's found guilty. And now, of course, we're getting more of President Biden's reaction to this. You know, he could pardon him, right?
He said he wouldn't.
But he's not going to.
Mm-hmm.
But he does stand by us. I know we got to see them hugging. I don't know if you saw
the video.
Yeah, I
thought that was nice.
And when he walked out of court, he was walking out with Jill. And I feel like it was not a family member. He's the only surviving son, right?
I think so, yeah.
So, you know, I thought that the statement Biden put out was good. I thought you really wanted to, well, I won't say it. You'll get mad. But I thought, you know, what Biden could do if he wanted to look like a badass with all this bickering, he could just pardon Trump and then not pardon his own son. Like, well, I can't pardon my own son. You know, that would look weird, but I'll pardon Trump. I mean, he's a former president. That would be, something, right?
No.
I mean, it's probably not going to switch anyone's vote. I think it's too late for that. I think
he
at this point.
He can't pardon Trump. It wasn't,
he can't?
It wasn't a federal thing.
Oh, you've explained this before, haven't you? That the president can't.
President Trump's was a state.
Yeah.
Hunter's was a federal.
But, so when
correct.
He does
well,
the election
Hunter,
thing.
This is what I don't understand. Why was Hunter's federal?
Yeah, because it's guns.
This is where I get confused, because gun laws aren't federal.
But he could have broken a federal gun law. Some gun laws are federal,
right? But we don't have what they're saying is that he filled out that sheet wrong.
Right.
That sheet isn't federal.
It might be. It might be for the ATF. It might go to them.
Well, you
I'm
don't
not
have
sure.
to fill that out when you buy a gun in Kansas.
You don't? Okay, I don't know.
Oh,
if you're buying if you're buying a new one,
yeah.
I know when I bought new guns, I have to fill the thing out. They wait, and then it sends the thing back, and then it says, you know, green or red, basically. Okay, he can buy the gun or he can't. If you go to a gun show, there's none of that. That's where they talk about the gun show loopholes. I don't know what the rules are in Kansas. If you go to a sporting goods store and buy a gun right now,
I don't think you have to fill out any of that stuff.
You need a driver's license, right? Don't they try and find out if you're a felon?
Well, now I don't know. Now I could be wrong.
I think they do, but they might not. Look, man, it's changed a lot over the years. When I was a kid, you couldn't carry a loaded gun on your lap in your car. You know, now you can carry it not only on your lap, it would seem, but out in the open, at Chipotle, whatever. It's just every single little rule that was in place is gone. So I don't know what the rules are now.
Right.
But this seems like an odd one to pick.
So filling out that form in each state is, federal.
There probably is a federal thing that you're
a form you have to fill out, and then if you break that, even if it's in a state, then that's a federal law.
I guess.
Okay.
But what about the Georgia election thing? Would that be federal, or is that Georgia?
I'm not sure.
It seems like if you're being accused of trying to steal the election,
they're saying they're only
like
stealing the election in Georgia.
In Georgia. So.
Right, so that's a state crime.
Because they're doing it, weren't they going to do it in more than one state at one point, or was it always just Georgia?
Well, the Georgia thing was because it's on audio of him asking for those votes.
Right. But that'll
I mean,
just
Nevada,
be another state.
Nevada, Pennsylvania,
thing.
I mean.
I think it's bullcrap that a president
Arizona.
Can't pardon a person who broke a crime at a state level.
The governor can. Kathy Hochul
can. The governor, that's what I'm saying. If the governor can do it, then the president should be allowed to do
it.
Well,
then you don't believe in states' rights, so let's just get.
Well, you know what? You're right. I've already put my foot in my mouth here. Let's take a break. We'll come back and do the news in a second.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo. Doom scroll.
All right. We're doing the news. So yesterday we talked about Hunter Biden being found guilty. Was it three felonies in this gun case? So he was accused, I guess, now being convicted of lying on a form to purchase a firearm. It's something like there's an actual law, lying to a licensed firearms dealer or something.
Okay.
That's the part where he said he wasn't a drug user, wasn't addicted to drugs.
Okay.
And the prosecutors alleged that he was. The whole story, though, is so crazy because supposedly he gets the gun and then he buys it from this gun store. I don't remember the name of it, but he buys this 38 and, you know, I guess takes it home, puts it in his car at some point because Haley, right? That's the name of the widow of Joe Biden's late son, right? Now, this is confusing, but remember, she was in a relationship with Hunter Biden for a while, and during the time that he had this gun was when they were in that relationship. So she gets into his truck, finds the gun. I think she said she found it in the console. She says she panicked, and she threw it in the trash. But then she gets a text from Hunter saying, like, hey, what did you do? Where's the gun? Are you stupid? So now she's like, great, there's text messages about it. She goes back to the trash to get the gun. It's not there. An elderly man had found the gun in the trash, and eventually it got into the hands of authorities. So then they realize, they trace the gun back, realize it's Hunter's. And at that point, that's when they also brought up these other, like, tax crimes, which I don't know if he's still going to the trial for those or not. They said something yesterday about this will be the first of at least two trials, but I may have misunderstood that. Happens a lot. But he was convicted on this, in this trial, and the jury says that in the beginning they were split. When they took the first vote, they were split right down the middle, but they took more time to think about it, and in the end they all decided, you know, politics aside, Hunter did break the law.
Believe it or not, it was a slip up.
But after sleeping on it, they decided there was enough evidence to prove that Hunter was abusing drugs in the critical time frame, including from his own text messages, especially one sent the day after he bought the gun, saying he was waiting for a dealer named Mookie.
There's too many patterns that I could see that show that he was using it when he purchased the gun.
They interviewed these jurors. That was another juror there. CNN has the information about all the jurors. There's, I'm sure, a lot of coverage on cable news. I really just wanted that clip because I wanted them to talk about that piece of evidence where they showed the text message of him waiting on his dealer named Mookie. Because he was trying to say, I wasn't addicted to drugs at the time, or, you know, addiction is, or sobriety is a one day at a time thing. So how do you, you know, how do you define being a drug user? The problem is that once they prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he was using drugs as a gun owner, illegal drugs, then you are breaking a federal law. So you are not allowed to have guns and use illegal drugs.
Right.
Which, who knew? I mean, to me, that was the biggest bombshell of this whole thing. Just unbelievable. And I know that people already knew that Hunter dated his brother's widow. But I forgot about some of that when I'm reading through the court stuff, and it's just, it's crazy. I mean, look, every family's weird. Every family's weird. This one is exceptionally weird because their dad's the president, and his son is being scrutinized by, like, elected officials, even though he himself is not running for any office. They've been trying to bring him down. I don't know that the other side would argue that's what the left has been doing to Trump. Sure. I get it. But they end up taking him to court for this gun thing, and I was kind of blown away by this whole trial. The fact that it was big enough that you have juries. I mean, I could see maybe they say, hey, this guy turned in a gun to the police, and we traced it, and you bought it new. Why was it in the trash? You know, what happened here? And they look into it, and like, are you high right now? You're really not supposed to be high and have a gun. But I would think that it sort of
is there.
They
started to look into it because it was a school.
Near school, right?
It was in a school zone. So yeah, they found the gun in the trash. This is what I understand. They found the gun in the trash in a school zone. So then, and I don't blame the cops. You're like, hey, yo, why is this gun in the trash?
Yeah.
We need to look into this. Hell, if I'm a cop, I'm like, some kid may be stashing it here to shoot up the school later. I got to look into this. They look into it. They find that it's, you know, Hunter Biden's. And now they're like, all right, why'd you buy the gun? Why the hell's the gun in the school zone? What's going on? They get to this point and they're like, all right, you're a crackhead.
Right.
And you're buying guns. Where's this form? They go to the place where he bought the form. They see the form. They get it sent to them. They're supposed to keep that in some sort of bound book. They go to the bound book. The bound book shows that he lied, that he wasn't on drugs. And they're like, all right, come on, man.
Yeah. During that time, they also were starting to learn stuff about his taxes from everything I've read. But they focused on the gun
thing.
Thing
about his taxes where I think he hasn't been arrested on the taxes yet. And this is just what I read. But I think there was a point where maybe they were going to charge him with all of those.
As it like a deal?
Taxes and the guns, and then just get rid of the gun part of it and charge him on the taxes. But they didn't ever arrest him on the taxes.
That whole deal fell apart.
Yeah, and they never arrested him on the taxes. At least not, I mean, I guess they could at any point, but.
So Biden has been very supportive of his son.
But at first I was like, why are they checking on all this stuff? Why would the cops even go? It seems like a sham. But once I realized his girlfriend threw it in a dumpster in a school zone, I was like, well, that makes sense why they would try to follow up on this gun they found.
Also,
according to the AP, Hunter Biden's trial on tax charges in California is scheduled to begin September 5th.
Okay.
So he will be facing
this. And then he's getting sentenced for this.
I knew he had more stuff coming up, yeah.
He'll get sentenced for this in about 4 months, which he could get serious time for this, I guess. It depends on who the talking head is on TV at the moment, but most of what I've read said he will probably get some time. He faces as much as 25 years in prison. You never get, I shouldn't say never, I don't want to jinx him. You usually don't get the max. But, I mean, still, 25 years in prison, you don't want to be facing that, even if you think you're not going to get the max. What's crazy to me is, okay, for the fact that he's dating his, you know, brother's widow, but that she throws it in the trash, and then he gets angry, and she goes back to get it. And in this particular trash can, I don't know if they have pictures of this trash, if they showed it on the news, but she goes back to the trash can, and that old man was who was like looking for recyclables and found the gun. Like, what are the odds? You got there before the trash was thrown out. It's not like, oh, the trash truck already came. That's what you fear. But you go there, and a man who was looking for recyclables found the gun. Like, damn it. In my trash can, I threw the gun away. Because she knew, and I think the prosecutors were trying to show, look, she knew he shouldn't have the gun. That's why she threw it away. And then she didn't want to talk about it. She was going to try and pretend like it never happened. But Hunter started texting her. So now you've got this evidence, I guess, this trail you can see. You can follow the timeline. And Hunter seemed pretty angry. Now, I've never seen or watched any of those videos from his laptop. I've seen one still shot. The one where he's naked.
I've seen a couple still shots.
Yeah. I've just seen the one. I think he's got a crack pipe in his hand. Is that the one?
I saw a different one today of him shirtless.
Oh, really?
No crack bite in his hand.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I thought he was shirtless with the crack bite.
There's that one, too. Yeah, there's one with him with the crack bite in his hand. This one is different.
Okay. Well, anyhow, yeah, I didn't. Wasn't that whole story that he took his laptop to get it fixed?
So this is a stat that's interesting that I found out. 556,496 transactions denied. So that would be for lying on the form, which is what he did.
Mm-hmm.
For lying on the form, of that, prosecutors have prosecuted 32 cases per year.
Okay.
32 cases per year. And most of those, of under 32 cases per year, and if I'm reading this right, in most of the cases where you got prosecuted for lying on the form were because a felony was then committed with that handgun.
Right, that to me makes more sense.
Right, so now you committed a felony. Oh, you lied on your form, too.
Yes.
That's another charge,
what I would
but
think.
Nothing happened.
It's in the commission felony. You're adding this to the thing. Look, you shouldn't have had this gun to begin with. But President
Prosecutions
Biden,
are rare in the absence of a felony committed with the gun purchased.
President
Whatever. You know, hey, look, I want more restrictions on guns, so I'm not going to kiss Hunter Biden's ass. I think we should have to fill these things out. But I just think everybody should fill them out.
Well, and I think what we're implying here is that this does seem a little political. But I'll also say that the Trump trial seemed a little political. You're extending statutes of limitations. You're taking misdemeanors and turning them into felonies.
Sure.
I don't know enough about the law, but that seems suspicious to me. So this one also just seems kind of like, would this happen to someone who isn't notable in the same circumstances?
You know, right, no,
felony?
Sure.
Would it? And I haven't heard of it.
The
maybe
only part that makes
like
you think
famous.
Maybe is because it was a school zone.
It could be.
Like, of all the places to dump the gun.
I mean, that makes sense as to why they looked into it, at least, right? But President Biden said, again, he's supporting his son. He said, quote, "As I said last week, I'm the president, but I'm also a dad. Jill and I love our son, and we are so proud of the man he is today. So many families who have had loved ones battle addiction understand the feeling of pride seeing someone you love come out the other side and be so strong and resilient in recovery. As I also said last week, I will accept the outcome of the case, and I will continue to respect the judicial process as Hunter considers an appeal. Jill and I will always be there for Hunter and the rest of our family with our love and support. Nothing will ever change that." So he's, for the most part, they said he usually declines to comment on the case, but with this, he came out and issued this statement, and then he also said that he wouldn't pardon his son, was the big takeaway there. Which, you know, Dad, you got to pardon me. I mean, come on. And then he's like, well, I can do it when I get reelected. Dad, you're like 85 years old. You got to pardon me. Just pardon me. And if he loses the election, then you got to be like, pardon me before you're out, right?
Well, I would say as a dad, I probably wouldn't pardon my son.
You would not?
If I lost the election, I'd pardon him for sure.
Okay. I just think I would expect my dad.
I think as the son of the president, I just got to think if you go to jail, it ain't that bad.
Well,
They ain't going to just put you with everybody else.
No, I agree. You're probably in solitary, you're isolated.
You're probably in like one of those. I'm positive. I've never been to one, but I'm positive they have really nice jails for certain people.
It would be a federal prison, right? Because he committed a federal crime, which is supposedly nicer.
But I'm guessing these are different.
Could be.
Like the Martha Stewart one.
Yeah.
Right. And like the one Wolf of Wall Street went to.
Oh, Jordan Belfort?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you're going
like
with
that. It's like a Goodfellas sort of
thing. Your roommate is Jordan Belfort and Martha Stewart, and you're not going to Rikers. The president's son, for Christ's sake.
Just like Trump ain't going there. I still don't want to go, Dad. Just pardon me. You know? Just come on. I'm trying to get my life together. I sobered up here. I feel like if I pardon you,
you're just going to go get high again and buy guns and throw them in the trash can.
Well, that's up to
me. I'm the president.
I get it, but you might not be next year.
For me.
Hey, maybe you can act like my father.
I'm trying to win an election here. I'm the president.
I'm your only surviving son.
Yeah.
You want to help me out?
Help you out?
Yeah, help
me
out.
You're losing me an election.
I didn't lose you an election.
Kid, you dumbass.
You're running against Trump.
I am not pardoning you.
No one can beat Trump. Not fairly.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo. All right, we're doom scrolling some more?
Yeah, we missed out on another big opportunity, man.
Oh,
well, we missed out on that pistachio ice cream thing. I don't think I can join in because I don't have any evidence that I've ever eaten at Cold Stone Creamery. But we also missed out on this baby powder thing.
What?
Man, I've used a ton of baby powder over the years. It eventually kind of progressed to Gold Bond, and then you get addicted to that, and that's not strong enough. Then you get Gold Bond, what's it called? Maximum or Extra Strength in the green bottle. And then you start to kind of get desensitized to that. But you don't go back to baby powder. You just keep using the Gold Bond. Now I use the spray-on Gold Bond.
That's what I have.
That stuff's so great.
Yeah, right?
You think, like, this is not going to be the same, and then it works.
Not only really that, it works better.
It works better.
And you don't make a mess.
You don't make a mess. It's not all in your underwear. Yeah. You just, it's right where you want it. But I did...
Well, I do find that sexy about you when we're together and you got baby powder all over your underwear.
Yeah.
And then there's a little pee stain because you didn't get it finished enough. Just a cute little guy.
I'm always in a rush.
Cute little guy.
Yeah, Daddy. I'm always in a rush, Daddy. But I use baby powder. I keep baby powder at the house because sometimes, you know, you're traveling or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I use in lieu of Gold Bond. Maybe you hurt yourself for masturbating too much. You're like, better not use Gold Bond, right? I mean, I could see that. So I've used a lot of baby powder.
Don't use Icy Hot.
No, don't make that mistake. No. So I've missed out on this lawsuit because now Johnson & Johnson, the main baby powder people...
They say there's not any babies in it?
Yeah, there's no real babies in it. That's exactly right. And I missed it. I thought the whole time I was spreading
babies on me,
right? I was like, this is what they do with all those babies. No, it's because it gives you cancer and a lot of women...
What?
Yeah. You haven't heard about this whole thing?
No.
Oh,
that
not.
Was a big thing like
it was
years
a big
ago.
Thing. Yeah. The huge lawsuit. Women got cancer. It seems like maybe... These women acted like they were eating the I mean, oh, sorry. Sorry. But you know what I mean? They were addicted. It was like one of those TLC I'm addicted to. They put it on everything, but they also
put it on their babies.
They put it on their body. They just put it all over their body.
Baby powder?
Yeah. I guess maybe they sweat a lot. I don't know. But they also just put it on babies, right? A lot of moms have been dumping Johnson & Johnson baby powder on their babies' asses for years.
Yeah, well, that's true. I just didn't know they put it on themselves.
And then apparently it gives the babies cancer, and they turn the babies into more baby powder. But Johnson & Johnson has been sued. They're going to pay $700 million.
All you have to do is prove that you bought some?
It's not an... I think these women got cancer, so I don't know where this money goes. Does it go to the government? Does it go to
right.
these...
Right, that's my thing.
I think it goes to some of these survivors. They got money, but I don't know if this is part of that. But they also are never going to make... baby powder again, or at least not for now. Is that crazy?
Johnson & Johnson will pay $700 million in a nationwide settlement over allegations that it misled customers about the safety of its talcum-based powder products. An investigation found that asbestos was present in the talc, and the company failed to disclose that it could lead to cancer. Johnson & Johnson will permanently stop manufacturing and selling all products containing
talcum powder.
No more talcum powder. That's it. It's like, well,
why they put asbestos in it?
Because you got to use the good stuff.
And why do you say we missed out?
You got to use
like
the
because
good
we
stuff.
Didn't get cancer?
Because we used it. We
didn't get cancer.
But we could get it. Our risks are now increased, right?
That's right, but we didn't get it. So we didn't.
Right, but
if we would have gotten cancer, we could have gotten paid.
No,
doesn't seem
I don't want the cancer, but we could now say we're at higher risk because we've used a lot of talcum powder.
Well, yeah.
So we could get a cancer. Or it could increase our odds by whatever. You should pay me. Now I'm living with this ticking clock.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to get cancer, right? I mean, that gold bond stuff, that had to have talc in it, did it not? Could we sue them? Is that a different company? I don't know what's
going
on
there. We
don't
have cancer.
No, but if they proved already through these lawsuits that that they lied about the risks and that they knew that talc could lead to cancer and I was using it, then they should owe us some money.
That's unless, of course, we don't have cancer.
That doesn't always matter. You put me at risk, and you knew the risk that you were putting me in, and you didn't tell me. That's what they did to Johnson. They said they knew about it, and they
so then we should
people.
Get paid.
That's what I'm saying. We should get paid.
But we're not going to, you said.
No, because I don't know who to call. What I'm talking about on the radio, like, hello? Hey, where's that guy that does the Johnson & Johnson commercials? The Johnson, you know, Mr. Johnson, where are you? Pay us some money and we'll stop talking crap about you.
Do they own the Jets?
They did. Do they still? I think they
Wally
still do.
Wally Johnson or something?
It's part of the J&J family, right? I didn't know it was the Jets. I'm thinking New York. You could have told me.
Woody Johnson.
Yeah. Is he from the Johnson & Johnson family or am I wrong there?
No,
I will find out for you.
I think he is. They own something, right?
Well, they have.
They own a few things.
He's got a lot of money.
It's a huge company, but it is a family company.
Mm-hmm.
You and I grew up seeing those commercials.
Let's see. He is a great grandson of Robert Wood Johnson I and an heir to the Johnson & Johnson fortune.
Yeah.
I wonder what Aaron Rodgers thinks of this.
They own other things, too. I thought about that. Literally, I thought, you know, this is such an Aaron Rodgers thing. Like, see, I told you.
Right, yeah. I told you baby powder would give you cancer.
They don't. I told you they lie about how the safety of their stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to go back and look at those old bottles
of powder.
That's
right, because he was calling Kelsey the Mr. Pfizer, and they were like, isn't your owner the Johnson & Johnson
guy? Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, there you go. Johnson & Johnson will pay $700 million. I don't think I'm going to be getting any of that, unfortunately, because I don't know how to do anything. But, luckily for some people in Michigan, which I have my suspicions that Lazo's part of this, in Michigan, if you win the lottery, you're allowed to remain anonymous if you're in a group. What the hell does that mean? You know, some places say you can't remain anonymous. Why can't I remain anonymous?
Like 10 people bought it or something together?
Yeah, but I don't understand. Why is there any state that says you can't remain anonymous? What is that like a thing?
No, I don't know.
They act like different states have different rules. I guess maybe because they're saying if you play the lottery and you win, we want people to know that someone won,
right, yeah.
Put a face to the winner, and then say, hey, maybe that could be me someday.
By buying a ticket, you agree to these rules,
You must. But in Michigan, apparently, they have a rule that says if you're part of a group, then you can remain anonymous. Well, because that big lottery from the beginning of the year, $842 million, it was almost $1 billion. We knew somebody won it, but we never knew who, and now we do. I think Lazo could be part of this.
Mystery solved. Lottery group in Michigan that calls itself the Breakfast Club have claimed that massive $842 million Powerball jackpot from New Year's Day. An attorney representing the three winners appeared on their behalf yesterday. Michigan law allows individuals who are a member of a lottery club to remain anonymous. Well, their lawyer says the winners plan to retire earlier than expected. They're going to remain in Michigan, but plan to buy a vacation home in Florida. And he says they want to help their immediate families and also give back to their community.
Up until the very end, that sounds like it could be Lazo. Once I got to the give back to their community, I was like, but it could be someone else in his group. I could totally see Lazo and the guy who does the Freedom Train, Trump Train, whatever that you went to school
with.
We're
the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, and then Teriyaki, the three of you getting together and starting a lottery group. And you just say, look, you know, one of us has got to win.
Yeah.
We're all so different. But we all grew up together. Let's do this. And it could bring us all together, right?
Yeah, I mean, and then if we,
The Trump train guy, the teriyaki guy.
And me.
And you. Yep. And they the news
all
goes
having
up to
breakfast together.
Teriyaki, and they ask him what he's going to do with his money, and you push the microphone out of his face.
Well, I know he's going to do
with
his money.
Don't ask
buy,
Teriyaki.
Buy teenage guys. He's going to pay teenage guys to punch him.
I wouldn't brag about that. I would just say, don't talk to him. You're not allowed to do any media.
What about the other guy?
His Trump train's going to get huge.
Yeah. He's going to pay
he'll
out Trump's
Trump.
Fines.
Yeah, he'll get to meet him and be friends with him. He'll probably be vice president.
Yep.
He'd make a good vice president, though.
The Trump train guy?
Yeah.
I mean,
from what I've seen in the news and what you've told me about him, I like him. He has a brother, too, right?
He's got two brothers.
That you were friends with?
Well, I was friends with the younger one.
Okay.
He's got an older one, too.
Okay. But you knew the family. Did you ever go over to the house?
Absolutely. I mean, they lived right across the street from me. I was in their house all the time.
When you found out that he was running the Trump train,
I called his brother and I was like,
"What
is happening?" Yeah, no.
Okay.
Because when we got older, I used to see him in strip clubs all the time.
Okay.
And he was a bar owner. I mean, that's what he did. He was a bar owner. I'd see him in strip clubs. He'd throw money around, you know, like pretty big bars. So, no, I would have just thought, I wouldn't have thought. If you would have told me he's conservative, I would have been like, okay.
Yeah.
But if you would have told me here's the thing. And, well, I don't care if he knows or not, Rob. This is what I think. I don't think he believes half that crap. Okay. He's a hustler. He's a con man. He's always been a hustler and a con man.
Okay, good for him.
And I think he sees, like, man, I could sell Trump T-shirts and get this Trump thing on the road and get people to donate money to me. I see it on his Facebook. Like, got to get the Trump train back up and running. You know,
oh, really?
Taking donations and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So
interesting.
I think he probably likes Trump.
Yeah.
But I don't think to the extent that he's selling it.
Motivated more by something else.
He's always been motivated by money. Always.
Yeah. Interesting. I've got a friend who when did Trump run? 2016, 2015, the first time around?
Unity Bridge, yeah.
Yeah, that was the name of it. I was with a buddy.
It's such a stupid thing, too. Just a trailer.
I don't know how it gets in the news.
I don't even know why is it a bridge, and why is it unifying?
People need to look it up. Look up a picture of it. But it was
the Unity
news.
Bridge, and it is my next door neighbor's.
Yeah. And it was in the news
he
more than
once.
He was
at my wedding.
It's got a Wikipedia.
Last
one. But
his brother was in your wedding, right?
He was at least there for sure.
Okay, crazy.
I don't think Chris stood up, but Chris and Rob were both there for sure, and you met him.
Okay.
The little brother was the one with the Hummer.
I can tell people now.
It's got a whole ass Wikipedia
guy,
like a long one.
Wow, we don't have a Wikipedia.
Does it say his name?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It says Rob's last name starts with the C.
Yeah, Rob Cordish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, cool. I didn't know I met him. Now I can say I met.
Oh,
that
you
guy.
Met him for sure.
Great. I have a friend.
A nice guy, too, man. Like, I'm being honest. Like, when my dad died, he called me.
That's what you said.
Yeah, and, like, you know, wanted to go to the funeral, called my mom, like, you know.
That's nice.
But, I mean, you know.
Wanted to bring the Trump train.
Like, what are you going to do? Bring a unifying Trump train?
you go to the service, and here comes this big parade with this Unity Bridge. I've got a friend who, in 2016, we drove by some Trump supporters. You know, this was election time. And there was a group of them. They had a tent, and they were selling stuff, and they had signs. And as we drove by, I'm not positive how he felt about Trump, but as we drove by, he gets close and he rolls the window down and he acts like he's interested and then he starts flipping them off.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, okay, this guy doesn't like Trump. And then we drove off, and as we're driving off, he says something about how dumb the whole Trump thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, like, fast forward a few years, I went to his small business and I had to use the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And when I went in to use the bathroom, I mean, he had the Rambo Trump flag in there.
Oh, it changed, huh?
I think so. Or did he think, I don't think Reed likes Trump, so I'll pretend. But, like, flipping them off seems excessive. You don't need to flip them off. I wasn't going to flip them off. But, you know, did he just see that Unity Bridge and think, you know what?
Oh, to bring stories together, remember I told you last week we had, like, the teenage nightclub?
Yeah.
That you could go into and we'd all get hammered before and everything? Rob owned it.
Nice. So, well, he could help us own this peep show in Kansas when porn gets banned.
Here's the thing. If you ask Rob to invest in something, he would absolutely tell you yes, and then
he knows how to fundraise.
Try to figure out how to get the money.
Yeah, he knows how to fundraise, and I can get Snowcone Nose BJ.
He tried to get $50,000 from me like 10 years ago to reopen the Michigan State Fair.
I said you should have done it. I thought it was a good investment. It's a proven moneymaker. For like 100 years, Lazo, it's a proven moneymaker. We're going to get him to invest in that. We'll get the peep show open. I'm going to get BJ to get us the
vending machines. He asked for my dad's number, too.
We're going to be rich.
Because he wanted my dad to invest.
And did your dad give him any money?
Oh, my dad talked to him on the phone and was like, Rob, you're an idiot. No, my dad always was.
Yeah. Well, but they were friendly. They liked each other.
Oh, super friendly. When I first sold beer and wine, I took the beer and wine job. Rob owned like 3 really big, successful bars.
Okay.
And that first day, I went out in my car, and I knew that he would just buy from me. I've known him since I was a baby.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, the guy was like, where are you going to go on your first call? I'm like, well, I'm going to go try these big bars. And he's like, oh, man. Like, the owner of the company was like, man, we've been trying for years to get in there.
Yeah.
There's no way. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Where else am I going to go?
Right.
And so I'm like, I'll give it a shot. He's like, well, good luck. And I came back, and I got there, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm selling beer and wine now. And Rob picks up the phone, calls the guy who had been selling all his beer and wine to him,
mm-hmm.
and goes like, hey, come here and get all your stuff out.
Wow.
Yeah, like, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Get all your stuff out. And then he just grabbed my book. He's like, I need this.
No, that's loyalty.
Right. And then I just went back to my guy. I'm like, hey, I closed it. There's like, I don't know, $200,000 worth of sales, and he wants me to come back once a week. And the guy's like,
holy crap.
Right.
Holy crap. And you're like, yeah, I built a Unity Bridge, and he liked it.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Okay, so biggest sports story. It's not the NFL. It's not the MLB. It's not the NHL. It is the MLE. The MLE is responsible for the biggest sports story of the day, and of course that's Major League Eating. Major League Eating is, I mean, the premier, the one and only eating contest. We watch it every summer, and there's really, I mean, to say he's a Lance Armstrong of his sport, well, it's true.
Sure.
I'd say he's easily the Lance Armstrong of his sport. He may actually be even bigger than Lance Armstrong in his sport because Joey Chestnut is kind of synonymous with Major League Eating. He has won a lot of these eating contests, 16, as a matter of fact. I don't know, how many Tour de France's did Lance Armstrong win?
13.
Really?
Well, maybe 14, yeah, but okay. 14.
So it's
14
close. This guy's won 16. Joey, I shouldn't say this guy. He's an American hero. MLE's words, not mine. He's won 16. I think he won the last 8 in a row.
He only has one testicle?
So is that the thing? Have you heard that?
Well, that's Lance Armstrong.
Oh, right, Lance Armstrong with the cancer. Sorry, I try not to think about that. Joey, the reason we have this story today is because Joey has been working
with Chestnuts, right?
Yeah, this deal with Impossible Foods. They're the ones that make the fake hamburgers, the fake hot dogs, all that. And they make a fake hot dog. Well, he's endorsing this fake hot dog.
That's a vegan hot dog.
Yeah, well, Major League Eating and Nathan's say that in the contract, if you're a Major League Eater, you are not allowed to endorse a competing hot dog.
Yeah.
Now, there is some nuance here because is a fake hot dog a hot dog? Nathan says...
Do they call them a hot dog?
I think they do.
Is it an impossible hot dog?
A plant-based hot dog.
Yeah, that's a hot dog.
I mean, it certainly looks like a hot dog. And people have said who have criticized Joey Chestnut, which is tough to do because he's an American hero. But even our American heroes sometimes deserve a little criticism. Some people have said, you know, what he's done is akin to a movie star like Ryan Gosling going on Jimmy Fallon's show wearing a Jimmy Kimmel shirt. Like, why would you do that? You know, it's bad optics. And I understand that that line of thinking. It's just hard for me to criticize an American hero like Joey Chestnut and someone who's dominated like this. Maybe you cut him some slack. But the thing is, Major League Eating, they actually put out a thing talking about how great Chestnut is. They said that they're crushed by each other's decision-making. Their press release said, this is MLE, and this is real, quote, Joey Chestnut is an American hero.
Yeah, an American hero.
He's an American hero. I mean, I don't like the whole
hot dog eating contest.
Why? What do you mean?
I just don't like it. I'm shocked.
What are you going to say? I don't know. I'm worried about what you're going to say. What do you mean you don't like it?
Well,
it's a 4th of July tradition.
I know, but I don't like the way they do it. Like, you should have to eat a hot dog like a hot dog.
Why? That's how they
eat
the hot
dog. Now they take the bun and they dip it in the water and they just... It's like you're not eating hot dogs. A hot dog eating contest, you should have to have a hot dog in a bun and then eat it that way. You can't dip it in water and all that other stuff. You got to eat it like a hot dog.
They figured out how to do it faster.
Yeah, but they shouldn't. They should be like, no, there's no water up here.
I don't know. You sound a little bit like the guy who liked it better when it was just the slow white guys playing baseball. You know, and then... They integrate, and other players come along like, no, we're better. This is better. We're faster. We throw harder. You got more competition now. The game is changing. And that's what they figured out with Major League Eating. I don't remember that guy's name who figured out the water thing. Wasn't that the Asian American who figured that out?
Sure, maybe.
I think it was him. Maybe someone on Twitch will know. He figured out the dunking in the water. Now, if you want to say that
I just think there should be rules.
Okay, if you want to say that you can't dunk it in the water.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't dunk it. You have to eat it like a hot dog.
But can you eat them separately in your perfect world?
I'd rather you not.
Okay.
I'd rather you not. You eat a hot dog like a because you say, oh, this is a hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, yeah. That's not what you think.
That's not really a hot dog eating contest. It's a wet bread and hot dog eating contest. I want to see you eat the hot dog. Like, how many hot dogs can you eat?
Right, but...
I want you to eat a full hot dog.
He is still ingesting the bun and the hot dog.
Right, but I'm not... Right.
It's impressive. I mean, this guy...
I'm not saying it's not impressive.
Okay.
I'm just saying I think it's a bastardization of the sport.
Do you think he's a hero? An American hero?
Well, in the same sense that Barry Bonds is.
Wow. Okay.
I think Barry Bonds cheated...
Okay.
But he's still the greatest hitter of all time.
But Chestnut's following the same rules as everyone else.
Yeah, but, just because everybody else was on steroids doesn't mean Barry Bonds didn't. So
I'm
guessing at the first hot dog eating contest, guys who were eating 7 of them or 8 of them were eating them the way you're supposed to eat them.
Well, Major League Eating says...
You see what I'm saying?
Major League Eating says that Nathan's went to great lengths in recent months to accommodate Joey and his management team, agreeing to the appearance fee and allowing Joey to compete in a rival unbranded hot dog eating contest on Labor Day. For nearly two decades, we have worked under the same basic hot dog exclusivity provisions. However, it seems that Joey and his managers have prioritized a new partnership with a different hot dog brand over our longtime relationship. Now, American Hero Chestnut responded with a post on Twitter. He says he does not have a contract with MLE or Nathan's, and he said, quote, they are looking to change the rules from past years as it is related to other partners that I can work with.
Well, that's probably one of the saddest days in sports history.
Yeah,
you're imagine. Taking away an American hero. I said it.
Man, it's more than Luke. It's sadder than Luke Gehrig saying, today I am the luckiest man in the world, I'm sure. Yeah, just a little bit sadder than that.
Come on,
a little
man.
Bit sadder.
Here we
I'm
go
just saying.
Back to the old white baseball player.
I'm just saying, it's the saddest day. It's probably the saddest day.
Well,
I remember that, and you know,
you're not a fan of the sport, I guess. Which is,
I am a fan of the sport. I'm just not a fan of the bastardization of the sport.
Right. So you sound like a communist.
No, I sound like a real American.
I don't know.
Like a hot dog eating contest is a hot dog eating contest.
We have a real American who wins this damn thing, basically every year. And you're saying you don't like the way he does it.
I don't like the way he does it.
I mean, I don't know about
Eating, which organizes the event, says Chestnut is unable to compete because of his new partnership with Impossible Foods, which launched a plant-based hot dog this year. But Chestnut says he was banned.
Okay, now, on social media, there's a lot of debate about this. Because, obviously, there's going to be. This is the saddest sports story, the biggest sports story, however you want to propose it. But the hot dog company that he's endorsing, they're technically fake hot dogs, right? But like you said, they call them hot dogs. If they actually have a contract that says you can't endorse a competing hot dog brand, I would say he's violating that. Now, I'm no lawyer, but I would say, look, the damn things look just
it
like
is.
Hot dogs.
Well, I'm trying to think of like the saddest days. Like, I'm like, oh, Joey Chestnut has a contract with a vegan wiener.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's the Marshall plane crash. That was sad. Lou Gehrig. Dave Dravecki, who came back from cancer and then threw a pitch and broke his arm and had to have his arm and shoulder amputated after all that time coming back.
Changed his name to Jim
Lynn Bias dying. I'm thinking.
This is today's story, though, Lazo. This is what's going on now.
I'm not even a NASCAR fan, but I'm sure people were sad about Dale Earnhardt.
I was watching it live, actually, at my friend's house. That happened. Saw Kenny Schrader's car hit him, and I was like, oh, boy, who's driving? Anyhow.
Oh, yeah, that limo crash with the Russian 5 and the Red Wings on it.
Never heard of it. Never heard of the Red Wings.
And him.
Never heard of the limo.
Vladimir Konstantinov.
No, it's Putin.
I mean,
you're bringing up stuff from 50 years ago. Today's story is Joey Chestnut, Lazlo, and the debate is whether or not he should be allowed. Now, Lazlo, go with me on this. I know we're not lawyers, but let's take Joey Chestnut at his word.
Yeah.
He says there's no contract that says I can't endorse another hot dog. Let's say that's
hear.
True.
I want to hear, just to get the sadness here, could you pull Joey Chestnut's speech and Lou Gehrig's speech?
Well, Chestnut.
And just if we could just hear him side to side. But Chestnut says they're trying to change. Didn't you just play us a little soundbite of him?
Well, he tweeted it. Yeah, he tweeted
but
that.
But
didn't
we have a soundbite of him?
I played a soundbite. Those were people on TikTok saying today's a sad day, all of that.
Oh, no,
stuff.
No. But what about him saying trying to change it? That was just you? I thought I heard him say it.
I don't think I have him saying it. Maybe he does. Let's see if he says it at the end of this clip that I pulled earlier.
Partnership with Impossible Foods, which launched a plant based hot dog this year. But Chestnut says he was banned.
Yeah, no, sorry. I don't think
right,
I
so
have
now
that.
Hear that story, maybe if we have the Lou Gehrig thing.
I'm getting it.
Okay,
nice
but
to just hear back to
I want to get your take,
see what's
because this
sad.
Is today's sports story.
Or maybe when they announced the Marshall plane crash that everyone on the plane's dead.
Chestnut defenders, I'll give you both
Payne
sides
Stewart
here.
Stewart being in that plane. And
Chestnut defenders point out that the NFL players signed by, like, say, Puma, right? They're not banned by the NFL, even though the NFL has a jersey deal with Nike. That's what his defenders are saying, things like that. Now, critics counter that
but you can't
jerseys,
wear the Puma shoes.
They counter that jerseys, shoes, and pants go on the body, not inside it. What you eat means more than what you wear. They
but you
argue.
Can't wear the Puma shoes.
On the field?
Yeah, right? That's
I
why guys cover them up.
Okay, I got
oh, but they do have
to
cover.
Like
they have to cover
it.
Up the logos, right? But they don't get fired, right?
No.
But they can, and they just have to cover up the logo.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely not covering up the logo when he's in
exactly.
doing. But what if they go on TV and do commercials for Puma? They're allowed to do
well,
that,
let's
right?
Let's hear this and just see how they compare.
Today,
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Okay, so that was him saying that he has ALS.
Yes.
And where's Chestnut saying he can't eat because he's got a wiener deal with somebody else?
He says that I do not have a contract with MLE. They are looking to change the rules from past years as it is related to other partners I can work with.
Okay.
Now, the MLE statement...
No, I'm with you. I think this Chestnut thing, I think it's sadder.
The MLE statement is, you know, maybe a little more sad. I don't know, because they call him a hero and then go on to say that they're so sorry that they have to end this relationship. Say they went to great lengths in recent months to accommodate Joey and his management team, agreeing to the appearance fee and allowing Joey to compete in a rival, unbranded hot dog eating contest for Labor Day. We allowed that. For nearly two decades, we have worked under the same basic hot dog exclusivity provisions. However, it seems that Joey and his managers have prioritized a new partnership with a different hot dog brand over our long-time relationship.
Yeah, that's sad. He ended a relationship.
Saddest day in sports.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
What's going on?
Did I tell you that my dog almost died last night?
No.
It's been a rough 24 hours. I got two dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of my dogs died. I got another dog after she died. A few months later, I got a little dog. Never had a little dog before.
You like
it? Yeah, he's great. He's really fun. And he's like a year old, so but he acts, I don't know, it seems like a puppy to me. A lot of energy. He's always happy to see you. Very loyal. He's great. Love him.
Right.
Last night, I look over at him. He's laying on Brooke in like a weird way. Like he's got his head laying on her, which he doesn't normally like that. He always sleeps on his back with his feet in the air, which is cute too. But he's got his head on her, and his ass is like in the air, almost like he's not fully laying down.
So he's more laying on her like you do.
Yeah, right? It's like, and I'm like, he's not really laying down. And I said, are you all right? And I go over and he doesn't move. And I'm like, hey, Frank, what's up? He puts his head up. He's trembling like this. Like someone who has bad Parkinson's, but they've taken their medication, maybe?
Okay.
Like it's not, you know what I mean? It's kind of a slower tremor. So how do you Google that? I tried. But I was like, is he like sick? Am I reading too much into this? So I offer him a treat, which normally he'd jump right off the couch. Now look, like 20, 30 minutes earlier, he was fine.
Okay.
Now he won't get off the couch. And I'm like, what is going on? So I pick him up and put him down, and he's like kind of stumbling. He can sort of walk, but he wants to go back to the couch.
But he doesn't want a treat.
Doesn't want a treat.
I was going to say, he sounded stoned, but stoned, he would want a treat.
He did not want the treat, so I put him back up on the couch because that's where he's trying to get. And I wake Brooke up. I'm like, you know, Frank's dying. Say goodbye. This is it.
That's what you say to her?
He's dead. No, I said, something's wrong with Frank. And she's like, what? I was like, I don't know. Look at him. And she goes, what's happening? You know, she's like, in a daze, waking up. I'm like, I don't know. He's dying or something. And she's like, oh, I hope he doesn't die. I was like, well, I hope he doesn't die, too. And then we're like getting in a fight about, like, wait, you think I hope that the dog dies? It's like, no, I'm just saying I hope he doesn't die. Well, of course I hope he doesn't die. Anyway, we let him sleep in the bed. We don't know.
Let him die in the bed.
He's got a kennel. I'm thinking he might die in the bed. I don't know.
Who wants to die in the bed? All right, we'll go on.
Well, I'd rather die in my bed at home, I guess, than at a vet, right?
I guess. I just put him in his kennel. I don't want him to die next to me.
Oh, he's a cute little fuzzball. If he died, it'd be sad, but it would be sadder if he died in a cage, you know? Mm-hmm. Eh. So he sleeps with us. Never done that before. I wake up, and I try to get his attention, and he's like, normally he would be jumping around. But it's sunlight. You're awake. Great. He's just kind of like, I want to sleep more. I'm like, oh, he's not doing good. So he won't go to the bathroom, any of these things. So we call the vet as soon as they open. Like, well, you know, we can see in a couple hours. And I'm like, he's dying. Come on. We've been waiting all night for you to open. But we had to wait. So I had a doctor's appointment. So Brooke had to take him. And they FaceTime me. I'm in my doctor's waiting room. She's at the vet. And I'm looking at this vet. And they're basically saying, your dog got stoned.
Oh.
I'm like, my dog didn't get stoned.
Like, your dog got stoned.
Like, your dog probably got stoned. I was like, you think I give my dog weed? Okay, I don't do that. And Brooke's like, this is kind of embarrassing. I was like, well, it's not true. It's just not true. I checked the whole yard for mushrooms, anything that could possibly, you know, have poisoned him.
Got one of your gummies.
How did he get one of my gummies?
Because you got a million of them.
They're in a place that the dogs can't get to, though.
You know that. You could have eaten one and dropped one somewhere.
I don't eat that many, though.
Right, but you could have dropped some of it. You could have ripped it in half, dropped a little bit. The dog sees it's a treat in the kitchen floor.
Well,
you haven't swept in a while. He has a little bit of that gummy. Now he's stoned. Well, that's what happens. That's how it starts.
Brooke thinks that he was stoned because I will admit that last night I was cleaning out the weed drawer. But I was sitting there the whole time. I was sitting there.
Well, of course. Now that's added information that everyone needed.
But there's like non-exposed weed. Was he going to vape off of a Delta 8 pen from 6 years ago? I mean, there just wasn't like weed there, I don't think.
Right.
But I
was
watching
weed
it.
Drawer.
Yeah, and I cleaned it up and it made sure everything was in Tupperware. I just wanted to reorganize it. There's a lot of Icy Hot in there taking up space, empty bottles of it. You know, get that stuff out, organize the weed, push the drawer closed. I was sitting there. But somehow we got stoned. So.
Oh, somehow.
Yeah, somehow. I didn't feed him weed. I wouldn't do that.
Do you think there's enough circus? I don't think you just fed it to him. You dropped some and he ate it.
Apparently. I don't know if
there's enough circumstantial evidence here to convict.
Yeah. But he's feeling great now. He's great.
Does he want more?
She said he's great. She says run around like crazy, 100% frank. I was like, that is so cool that he didn't die. Because I really thought, man, I just got this dog and he's been so much fun. He's going to die. Like, what's God trying to tell me, you know? I feel like I've been nice to this dog.
No, he got the dog high.
But, you know, he got the dog high. He, I guess God wanted the dog to know something, right? Expand his mind a little, right? It's time to grow up. You're not a puppy anymore. I've given a dog weed on purpose once because they told me to. They said,
your weed dealer?
Basically. They have these, like
they told me to. Who? I mean, really, who?
They sell these.
Running high times somewhere? Blowing in his ear? Who told you?
No. So
guys in a frat house? Like, who told you to give your dog weed?
I shouldn't say that she said you should give it to him, but she did offer it up. The vet said, hey, there's other things you can try. You know, I've heard people say that they get good results, because she had real bad arthritis when she was old. I've heard people say that some of this hemp stuff, whatever, these, and they're made for dogs, really helps. And I'm like, okay. So I got something. I gave it to Jolie, the late, great Jolie, and she got very high and very scared. And she was kind of wobbling around, and she wanted to stay close to me. I didn't even think about that when Frank was wobbling around last night. So I apologize to Frank. I try and keep that stuff put away. I do not give my dogs marijuana. I think Brooke is very nervous that we, you know, now come off as this pothead couple who are just leaving drugs around. She doesn't even smoke pot. And we're just leaving drugs around for the dogs to eat.
Yeah, you guys,
I was trying to clean up. I was trying to clean up.
You guys are druggies and you got your dog high.
Yeah. But
damn near killed him.
He's okay now. So I don't know how you guys do it with kids. Like if I saw my son or daughter and I looked over and I said, are you okay? And she lifted her head up and she was wobbling her head a little bit.
Dude,
I mean, how do you guys do it? When your kid gets sick.
Well, we don't get him high.
Well, I understand that part. But they've gotten sick before.
That's like rule number one.
I mean, it had to be the first time your oldest son.
And we don't have a marijuana drawer.
I gotcha. It's sitting out on the counter. But when your oldest son.
We don't do that.
Your oldest son must have got sick at some point and you're thinking, okay, it's probably. I mean, kids get sick, but did you get super nervous? Like, what if it's
all the time?
Like, should we take him to the hospital now?
Of course. Sometimes you take him when you even shouldn't. The doctor's like, okay, yeah, his shoulder just hurts. He's fine. But yeah, you panic.
Okay. I just.
But I've never had to take him high because of my ineptitude.
Okay, I get it. All right. But luckily, it's a dog. I don't have kids, right? I mean, this is one of the main reasons.
Well, I think what God was trying to tell you is that you just were taking care of a kid. Maybe you and your girlfriend were thinking we should have a kid, and God was like, this is why you're not going to have one.
Well, you know.
Because you can't even keep Frank from getting high.
Awfully big, I don't know, assertion to just kind of propose that this is what God was thinking. I mean, we're talking about God here, and you're saying now that God doesn't want me to have kids. I mean, I took that kid shooting for the first time. I took him to the water park.
All right, I'm not saying. I think God is saying you're a good, you know, guy to spend a week.
A part-timer?
Nice guy to vacation
with, but
you wouldn't want to live there.
Limited here.
Yeah.
This is it. Take care. You can't even take care of this 10-pound dog.
Right.
Focus on that.
Dog's getting high.
Put the adoption papers away.
Yeah. Dog's getting high.
That actually might be a pretty good message. You're right. Well, okay, so no adoptions.
Good show, Frank. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.